The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning,
Aaron. Good morning, Bill, out in the lobby. This is Elizabeth and Aaron and Bob of We the People Radio. You probably already know that it's Sunday. I get so tired of saying the same thing. I got to come up with something new.
Yeah, telling people what day it is kind of an overshare.
Yeah, it really is. And
actually, no, overshare is why you almost weren't here today.
Yeah, my I had a personal relationship with Johnny yesterday, but I'm better. I'm glad,
Elizabeth
too.
Had intestinal discomfort.
Well, that's a nice way of putting
it. You're so glad your intestinal discomfort has been relieved.
But I feel so empty.
Now, that's overshare.
I know.
Finally. Oh, finally, I knew we could get
there. Well, if you wanted to come up with something new, that worked.
I knew we could get there from here. Oh, yeah. People are calling in. They're complaining.
Jeez. Wow, right out of the gate.
Holy cow.
Okay, so you are joining We the People Radio, and you probably figured out it's with Aaron, Elizabeth, and Bob. And if you want to call in and put in your 2 cents about our personalities or anything else, the number is 530-605-4567. We are chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us, and I really encourage folks to go to that webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. Robert Exter has been doing that for us for about 2.5 years now, and every link or every show we've ever done has an individual link. You can send those out to anyone you know anywhere. We've covered everything under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution that you can possibly imagine. So all the issues that are happening to you, around you, because of you,
oh, no, wait,
anywhere.
But, hey, Bill, can you give me a pen?
You will find some show on that.
Yeah, but if we were going to be communitarians, we'd say it was happening for you.
Oh, there you go.
For the good of you.
Yes.
Yes, because we know that.
And, you know, it's really interesting. I love the fact that our show last week was about communitarianism, and it's such a very simple distinction between community and communitarianism, and that is that with community,
it's harder to say.
It is harder to say. I'm only going to say it once. I'm not saying it three
That's
times.
It.
And I'm not saying it fast.
And don't say communitarian radio for the North State.
Although that is fun for everyone.
But it's simply that you give up your personal rights for the good of the community, whereas in a community that functions in a civil, normal society, you can be a part of the community, you can do good for the community, but you don't have to take a back seat because of it.
Correcto. And here to square us away this morning, bright and early, in case people thought we didn't have any supervision, we have Carl Bott on the phone.
Good morning, Carl.
Well, you don't have adult supervision on the phone. Yeah, I just wanted to call and say it's a beautiful day, and hello, and how are you all? How are y'all?
Well,
we're good.
We're going to talk about H-1B visas today.
Where the American jobs really went.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those topics that most of us don't know anything about, and the only way we'll know is because we have a radio program,
mm-hmm.
and we get to learn about it on the air, just like you.
And that's what's so great about this show, is that if you do go back and look through the archives and look at all the shows that we've done, Aaron and I know virtually nothing about most of those topics, although we know more now, but we always bring in the guests who do know. We are simply facilitators for our featured speakers.
And the best part is, it was Carl's idea.
Yep, came up with the name and everything.
Well, you know, the fact is that you have such an eclectic group. I mean, you talk about everything, but you're right. Yeah, the one thing that if you don't take something away, somebody that has a radio show like you all have, and we have, if you don't take something away, if you don't learn something every day, you're just not trying.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you can share it with other people out there, you know, people need a straight source of information, and what's better than going to the source and having people talk to you about it?
Yeah, and you know, the nice part too with radio, they don't have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, through the beauty of technology, you can hear from people all over the world.
Right.
And it doesn't matter where you live. So it makes rural America a great place to be.
And, you know,
absolutely.
And we have tried to tailor this show a little bit more to fit the demographics of any community anywhere. We have a lot of great local shows on KCNR 1460, and a lot of those shows focus on some of the local issues that we have in our area. And with our show, we do try to focus on issues that would fit no matter where you live. And that draws in listeners from all over.
Well, and things, people you wouldn't hear from otherwise.
The way you do it is when you bring them in for these issues that fit anywhere, but then you tie it into the people of the North State. And they can say, oh, this is in the Southeast, but it does affect you. And then the way you tie it in is great. Anyway, I just wanted to say hello and
Thanks.
That another great show I can tell right now.
Yeah, you know, things that we, you know, the brutal part of the mainstream media, for one, it's become very one way. But the other part of it is it's very soundbite. And so they bring on somebody, you know, how often have you been watching a program and they say, oh, we're going to interview so-and-so next. And you think, oh, hey, that sounds good. And they're on for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You don't really get the whole story.
You can't learn anything in 2 minutes.
You never get the whole story.
Nothing good.
And all of our guests, a lot of them think that they'll never be able to fill 2 hours. Of course, they never get the whole 2 hours by the time Aaron and I are done, you know, messing around. But it's amazing how many of them can fill that time and actually could continue on if they had it.
Exactly.
Well, that's true.
We really
get a guest on.
Well, we really, really appreciate the fact that you guys have made this station about. What is that?
Sorry, that's me. That's the little train trestle on.
She had an upset stomach. I thought it was coming back again. I was kind of scared there. Oh, it's a motorcycle.
Well, look, ladies, I have to run, but I just wanted to say hello, and as I know, another great show, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks Carl.
Say hi to Linda.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, I will. Thank you. Bye.
All right, team. So that's fun. You know, it's nice to be out of the box and have that be okay.
And you know, this particular station is ideal for us because we're not known to be politically correct. And we are not known to play by mainstream rules. So this radio station is sort of ideal because it is not corporate owned. It's individually owned, and there's a lot of latitude to be truthful.
And we have Carl and Linda to thank for giving us that latitude.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the whole point, huh?
So for all of those listening, no matter where you're at, it's KCNR 1460 on the AM dial.
Except it's not a dial anymore. I can see Bill out there waving his arms. Just say shout out, and I can see him.
Shout out.
Over.
Absolutely. What are the keywords that send Bill through the roof?
Shout out. That's another one. Okay, so real quickly before we go to break, call James and get on the road here with H-1B visas. Are you guys following the whole sequester thing?
Yeah.
The humor that is sequester?
Yeah.
You guys loving it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, planes aren't going to fly. Children can't get educations.
And what is...
There's going to be no more food because meat's all going to go sideways.
Isn't that something? Because, you know, without us, you cannot survive.
Well, the bottom line is they're not cutting anything.
No.
That's the part that's funny is there's still more money in the pipeline than there was last year. They're not cutting anything.
Mm-mm.
Sounds like the Y2K scare all over
again.
Well,
and that's...
Yeah, but without the mystery.
And that's the problem.
That's the thing. It's math.
That's the problem I have with this current administration is that they're so untruthful, and they really play on the fears of the American people. And I'm sorry. I just think that's... bad.
Well, you look at it and the discussion is that they need more money and this and that and the other, but I would submit to you it's a regulation problem. Did you know, little known fact, here we go, ding, regulations in January alone, the Obama administration published over 5,700 pages, not regulations, pages of new regulations.
Wow.
So how many regulations can you fit on a page? I guess it's like angels dancing on the
head
of a pen.
Well, it depends on how much detail they go into.
Yeah, but isn't that crazy? 5,700 pages of new regulation? Well, that'll spur the economy on. That's fantastic.
State of California, what, is it 2,100 bills? Or is it roughly over 2,000 bills in the state of California legislature?
Piling on and
going,
on
going
and
through this session.
On. Yeah. Yeah, and they're fantastic. This is going to cut, federal budget by $85 billion. What is it? Total spending is $3.8 trillion a year, $1.5 discretionary, $2.3 non-discretionary. the sequester cuts illegal 2.2% of all spending.
Which is what, 25 cents on the dollar, if that?
It's going to be fairly small.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they could do all sorts of stuff. Like here, I have a nice little list of government waste. Would you like it?
Hey, Jim, it's Bob Martin.
Oh, yes, calling Jim. Bob's calling Jim.
Please.
Jim calling Bob.
Tell me about some waste.
All right, let's talk about government waste. Just for all those people out there that are like, well, we need our meat inspectors and we don't want our planes to fall out of the sky. Okay, how about this? How about the free cell phone program? Just in case you hadn't heard about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Cost $2.2 billion slated for 2013. I'm thinking, hey, there's a free $2.2 billion.
And who are these phones going to?
Welfare recipients.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Welfare recipients.
Oh, welfare recipients.
Obamacare promotion, sorry. The federal government spent $51.6 million last year promoting Obamacare and paying public relations firms. Isn't that terrific? God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The IRS, did you know they had a TV studio?
Whoa.
Oh, it's a full-service TV production studio. It costs $4 million annually to operate. I don't remember ever watching the IRS channel. I don't. I mean, what channel are they on?
Yeah.
Vacation Getaways? Now, here we go. We're getting to the hot tub guy with the wine, right?
Maybe they can sell it to Al Jazeera.
Exactly.
There you go.
The 183 conferences paid for by federal agencies over the last several years cost taxpayers more per attendee than the infamous October 2010 GSA conference in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Per attendee, mind you. Federal government spent $1.7 billion in 2010 to maintain property that is not in use or is classified as underutilized. EPA grants to foreign countries. You gotta love this one. Agenda 21 fans,
yeah.
Get ready for your blood to boil. The EPA has given more than $100 million in grants to foreign countries over the last 10 years. Our EPA is giving foreign, okay. The National Science Foundation, now you'd be thinking, okay, now those guys are good. What are you doing, Bob? Oh, there's a lot of, there was a lot
there,
of,
hey, Bob, is there a donut in there?
There was a lot of rustling over there. I was like, what's going on over there?
No, just paperwork.
Oh, okay, all right.
He didn't pull out a donut.
We let no stone go unturned. The National Science Foundation spent $1.2 million paying seniors to play, get it, you ready? To pay seniors to play World of Warcraft to study the impact it had on their brains.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that fantastic? I bet you didn't know that one. And then the Department of Veterans Affairs, they spent $47,000 on a cigarette smoking machine that holds up to 40 cigarettes at a time.
Wait, I thought they wanted to get rid of cigarettes.
Apparently they have a machine that smokes them now.
Oh,
so that the people
right.
aren't. Apparently they're trying to smoke down the stock or
so
whatever.
So really they don't care.
And it's costing us $47,000.
So it's okay. It's okay that there's smoke in the air as long as it doesn't come from your lungs.
Exactly.
Do they like want to simulate people who smoke 40 cigarettes at a time? Or
Hey, my all-time favorite for the state of California is the Homeless Bill of Rights. That gives the homeless the right to urinate in public anywhere they want.
Ooh,
did
that's
you read about that one?
No, that's awesome, though. I'm sure people are fired up about that.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it because it's their Bill of Rights.
Of course it is. Because it's for the good of everyone.
That's communitarianism. Because they're going to help. Well, never mind. I'm not going to go down that. I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
Oh, you were so going down the rabbit hole.
I'm not going down the rabbit hole about watering plants.
So what about the people that aren't homeless?
Yeah, well, we're out.
Yeah.
We're out.
You have to do it in
that's discriminatory.
We're pretty much just out. Hey, and thank goodness for Outlook, huh? It's my dad's birthday today. Happy birthday, Dad, if you're out there.
Is it your dad's birthday?
Yeah, just popped up on my screen right now.
Did you not know that until
it
popped up on your screen?
Well, I was thinking it was the 24th, and I forgot to double check.
Do you know how old he is?
So thank God for the computer.
Have you lost track of how old your parents are?
I've lost track of how old I am.
I know.
My mom was like 52 for several years, so I'm 51 right now. I know that for a fact because I was born
in... So she can't be 52 anymore.
So no, she's not 52 anymore, but I have a feeling I'm headed into that. I'm 50-something.
Mm-hmm.
Got to sit down and do that. Yeah, sad.
Okay.
All right, on that unhappy note, we just try to throw out some numbers that aren't billions.
Yeah,
51.
Yeah.
Just 51, small number.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back with James Otto. We're going to talk about H-1B visas. You guys are going to... I'm going to say love this, but I mean the bad kind of love, when love goes wrong. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM with We the People Radio at Community Radio for the North State.
When they move into but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back. We're here. We're talking about getting jobs today. So, I believe our guest is on the line.
Jim, are you in there?
Mr. James Otto, Esquire. And I encourage people to go to wethepeopleradio.us. Jim's bio is there, talks about his education and background. And we'll let you follow along while we cut to the chase and get right into our topic.
Exactly. And by the way, thank you for your service. Jim was a Marine.
Marines are a special kind of people, don't you think?
Yeah. You would have been growling and eating worms by now if you were still a Marine, right?
No, sure.
I mean, we're burning daylight. It's 8:30. All right. So you and I chatted a little bit yesterday, and everything you told me I had not heard before. So,
which is the whole point of this show.
So so why don't you start wherever you would like? How'd you get involved in this, and what do you do for a living that leads you here and all that jazz, however you'd like to do it?
Well, I'm an attorney in California. I practice in employment discrimination and employment issues. In 2010, I had 18 people come to me. These are all IT workers who worked for a U.S. company called Molina Healthcare. Molina is a multi-billion dollar provider of medical services, but their twist is they get 100%, Molina gets 100% of its revenues from the U.S. taxpayers because they provide Medicaid or Medi-Cal benefits to the elderly. However, what has happened at Molina is they've decided to join the trend and to eliminate U.S. workers and import foreign workers to replace competent U.S. workers. And they do that by using what are commonly known as 18 employment preference visas. So, before I get into the specifics of these employment preference visas, which were created by Congress for the specific and sole intent of allowing corporations to import foreign labor to replace American workers, not supplement, but to replace American workers. I'd like to give you a little bit of history and how this came about. I don't want to bore your audience too much, but I think knowing the history and who were the players behind the evolution of these acts, congressional acts, will actually shed some light on the impact it's going to have on the American public. Because when Congress acts, it intends to impact the American public. That's what laws are all about, to impact the economy or impact individual conduct. And we only need to go back to about 1986. Congress started tinkering with the immigration code, which had up until that time been exclusively for the protection of American workers. But in 1986, they passed some laws that for the first time actually stripped away protection for the American workers. And it was spearheaded by a gentleman named Alan Greenspan. Now, everybody should know who Alan Greenspan was or is. He used to be the advisor to all U.S. presidents from Richard Nixon and through George Bush. And he especially had some close ties with Ronald Reagan. Well, Alan Greenspan, since retiring as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has come out quite openly by stating that it was always his advice and intent that the United States should eliminate all immigration restrictions and allow for the 100% free inflow of immigration to in order to challenge the U.S. wage structure. And this is a very, you know, aggressive statement, but he makes it from in his book called The Age of Turbulence. He wrote this book when he retired, and he explains that it was in his opinion, American industry was becoming non-competitive on a global market because of middle-class wages that were starting to increase. And he didn't see how American business were going to compete. So he convinced the presidents in Congress, at least he lobbied them, to eliminate 100% of all immigration quotas. So there would be 100% immigration freedom, so corporations can import all the labor they want to challenge American middle-class wages. Well, he didn't get his 100%. But in 1990, Congress passed these 18 immigration visas, okay, which give preference to corporations who want to import foreign labor. And when George Bush signed, when President Bush signed this new act in 1990, he actually went on the record as saying that this act will allow for the unrestricted importation of foreign labor into the United States. But that didn't happen immediately because there were certain restrictions imposed by Congress. For example, in one of the immigration preferences, the H-1B, the one that we usually hear about in the press, Congress has put numerical limits of 60,000 per year for what they call the highly skilled workers, and an additional 20,000 a year for workers with advanced degrees. In a moment, I'll get into the specific numbers, but suffice it to say at this time that those numbers are ridiculous because nobody pays any attention to them. We import over 1 million foreign workers a year to replace U.S. workers, which is in my opinion, and the opinion of several other economists, the reason why the American economy has not broken out of this recession. Corporate profits are skyrocketing. Corporate production is high, but American unemployment of U.S. citizens, of U.S. workers, is extremely high, and it hasn't come down. And we'll talk about those numbers. But these employment visas, employment preference visas, all 18 categories, were created so that corporations could import immigrants immediately. Okay, so under the normal course of immigration, an immigrant from overseas has to go to the U.S. Embassy, make an application for a green card, and we've all heard the stories in the press about how long you have to wait, decades to before you get to the front of the line. Well, Congress did not want the U.S. corporations to have to wait in line. So they created this preference visa so these individuals, so that corporations, U.S. corporations, could jump to the head of the line. Heck, they don't even have a line because the Labor Secretary has to certify them within 7 days. That's what Congress has said, that the Labor Secretary, which certifies these labor applications, must be done within 7 days. And then they could immediately import these workers. And so Congress thought they had put numerical limits, which, as I said, turned out to be completely false. And Congress also tried to limit the importation to highly skilled workers. Well, what has happened over the years is the Department of Immigration and Department of Labor has modified the common definition of highly skilled worker to mean any worker, regardless of if you have a degree or not, regardless of whether or not you have any experience.
Oh, you're kidding.
And we know this. What's that?
Well, you're kidding. I mean, the only time I've ever heard of this, I heard that, if you had a special skill that could not be filled by an American worker.
Absolutely not. The requirement of not having searched American markets to find available workers. That went out the window in around 2000 under Labor Secretary Elaine Chao. But I'll talk about that in a moment. The highly skilled worker is now anybody that breathes. And, for example, college students. There has been, in the last several years, a big influx, a boom of foreign students coming to the United States. Why? Because Congress passed these two programs called Optimal OPT, Optimal Practical Training and Curriculum Practical Training, which modified the visa for students. Historically, foreign students could not work in the United States while they attended school. Congress changed that to allow for foreign students to work in the United States for foreign corporations. U.S. corporations encourage foreign students to come to the United States. Once they're admitted into school and they've started school, then the U.S. corporation goes to the foreign students and they give them jobs. They give them the jobs that U.S. workers, competent U.S. workers, are filling. So, in reality, and in practicality, American workers are getting fired and replaced by inexperienced, non-degree foreign students. It's happening everywhere. And I'll talk to you about the breadth of use for these employment visas. It's just not IT. It's not limited to Silicon Valley. It spans the whole United States in virtually every category, job category.
Huh. So who's really waging the war on the middle class, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's U.S. corporations who are making bundles and billions of dollars by firing competent U.S. workers. And so these U.S. workers, of course, go on public welfare. They lose their jobs. They lose their homes. They lose their cars. They lose their future. Okay? And nobody cares.
We care.
Because corporations are making a bundle of money. But let me get back, you know, to a little bit more about this history.
Okay, before you go into that, let's take a quick break, or we'll have to have them all at the top of the hour. We're going to take a really quick break here. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Jim Otto. We're talking about H-1B visas and other stuff about the economy. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
I'm a hard-working man. I wear a steel hard hat. I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I can't get ahead no matter how hard I try. I'm getting really good at barely getting by.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody wants a new romance. Everybody's going off the deep end.
Good choice, Bob. Sounds like we should move to a foreign country and then come here on a visa.
Hey, welcome back to We the People Radio. We're talking with James Otto, attorney
from Southern California, and he's got some expertise in the truth behind what's really happened to American jobs, because it isn't what we thought. So back to our history lesson.
Well, yeah, I'll try and keep it a little more brief, but I want to emphasize to your audience that everything I've said is documented in public records, okay? I'm not going to tell anybody anything that I have not or I am not prepared to introduce into evidence in my lawsuit against Molina Healthcare and a company called Cognizant Technologies. So everything I've told you has to be documented properly so it becomes admissible evidence. And so if anybody, you know, is interested, you just have to search on the internet, and if you can't find it, then, you know, send me an email, and I'll be more than happy to help you locate it, because this is really a very, very, very big problem. Getting back to our history lesson, you know, I want to start to jump into who are the players in all of this, and I've mentioned Alan Greenspan, and he wrote a book, Age of Turbulence, which outlines his beliefs and his advice to all the presidents from Richard Nixon to George W. Bush. There's a gentleman named Jack Abramoff. For those of you who don't remember, Jack Abramoff was a very, very large or powerful lobbyist who lobbied Congress on behalf of large corporations until he was convicted for conspiracy to bribe public officials. At his trial, there was actually evidence, and for those of you who want, Exhibit 40, where there was evidence that Abramoff passed over $100 million from his clients, such as Microsoft and other IT corporations, passed it on to Congress to influence Congress to delete the immigration protection for U.S. workers. And, in fact, whether or not there was actual influence, you know, again, that wasn't a finding of the criminal courts, but Abramoff was convicted for bribing public officials, at least trying very hard to bribe them. So that's an interesting thing. What's also interesting is that Abramoff worked for a company, for a law firm called Preston Gates and Ellis. The Gates is Robert Gates II, who is the father of William Bill Gates of Microsoft, and that's how Abramoff got in contact with Microsoft and other large IT companies. And it is these large IT companies, especially Microsoft, that have benefited from the deletion of immigration protection for U.S. workers. Well, let's jump ahead to a lady named Elaine Chao. Elaine is the wife of Congressman Mitch McConnell, and she served as Secretary of Labor from 2001 through 2008. And she wrote a strategic report of 2006-2011 where, as Secretary of Labor, she held or changed the law and stated, I'm quoting from her, a qualified U.S. worker can be displaced from a job in favor of a foreign worker, close quote. That's at page 35. So our Secretary of Labor, Elaine Chao, has in fact implemented administrative rules that allow U.S. workers to be displaced from their jobs in favor of foreign workers, imported foreign workers.
And is there any explanation for that? I mean, because of? Or do they just say, no, it's just an edict?
Just an edict, yep. And she spent a lot of time in her strategic report explaining the billions of dollars that will be put aside to re-educate the displaced U.S. workers. And in fact, it's happening real quickly. Our past governor Schwarzenegger had received something like $5 billion in TARP money, you know, federal taxpayers' money, to spend in California to create jobs for U.S. workers. And ABC reports, and there's a link to it on my website, but ABC reported that, and quite frankly, it's true, that Schwarzenegger spent all that money to hire a Chinese firm to import Chinese workers to build to build a new bridge across the San Francisco Bay from San Francisco to Oakland.
So, because there was something wrong with the old one? Well, and because there were no American workers who needed jobs, is that the deal?
Yeah, I guess that must have been it. You know, it's what can I say? And these are all facts that, you know, are verifiable. ABC reported this. The state legislature knew about this, and it happened. Okay. Well, in 2007, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates was quoted by the New York Times as saying that there should be, quote, no limit, close quote, on importing foreign labor. And he was referring to those job preferences, visa job preferences, that would import foreign workers to replace middle-class workers with a college education. In 2010, I believe it was December 7th, or no, excuse me, in 2010, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton authorized the investment of between $10 million to $36 million to build schools in Sri Lanka for several thousand Sri Lankans in advanced computer software principles in order for them to compete with U.S. workers for U.S. jobs in the United States. That was, you know, the published purpose of that investment. Now, there has been undisclosed, or there has been further U.S. investments in Armenia to train workers to compete here in the United States. I don't know the exact dollar amount. I've just found, you know, references in government publications that there was investments in Armenia, and I have to track that one down. And then, of course, President Obama has stated many times that he favors preferences given to foreign workers. So that's why I think the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, have no problems with, publishing statements that there should be limitless workers coming in, foreign workers coming into the United States. In fact, there was a publication by the Secretary of State, here it is, on December 7th, 2011, that the United States Embassy in New Delhi, India, would not limit the number of applications, H-1B and employment visa applications, as would be required by Congress. They would take all applications in unlimited numbers. So, and that's another published statement by the Secretary of State. So those are the players, and that's basically the history of this problem. And now we are here. And what has been the impact of unlimited importation of foreign labor? Well, everybody who comes into the United States, whether you're a citizen or an immigrant, or you have to go through immigrations when you enter the United States, which is controlled by Department of Homeland Security. And you have to have a written authorization or documentation why you're coming back, right? If you're a U.S. citizen, you've got your passport and you're returning from vacation or you're returning from business. If you're an immigrant or some foreigner who's coming into the United States, then you have to have a visa. And those visas are all numbered and categorized and recorded and compiled and published in a yearbook by the Department of Homeland Security. And if you look at the numbers for what they could call workers and trainees, this is in Table 25 on page 64 of the 2010 yearbook. And I'm using 2010 because, here it comes, because between 2007 and 2010, we imported into this country I've just lost the number.
It's really big. I remember you told me.
We've imported over 8 million foreign workers during the years of our recession, almost depression, here in the United States. U.S. corporations imported over 8 million foreign workers to replace U.S. workers. That's why corporations can experience extreme profits during those years, but the unemployment rate did not move.
So it isn't all just mechanized. It isn't because we've got so much technology replacing jobs and all these other things that you hear. I mean, we're physically replacing the people with other people from outside.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. On that note, well, we all probably shouldn't drink any more coffee. We'll wind up like those people on that Burger King commercial talking a mile a minute, but frustrating stuff. You're listening to We the People Radio this morning. We've got James Otto on. We'll be right back with you. You're at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Taking care of business.
Self-employed. I love to work enough. to the heart of America. People were waiting in line for a place by the river. It was a time when strangers were welcome here.
It's the Elaine Chao theme song.
It was a sweeter tune, and there was so much room that people could come from everywhere.
So nepotism is alive and well in our crony capitalist society.
Yeah, because James, I got to tell you, I had a little bit of fire shooting out of my eyes. I refused to give them my blood. They can only have fire. But I was reading about Elaine Chao on Wikipedia here, just a little Wikipedia bio. Yeah, it's terrific. You know, she expanded the Peace Corps and United Way and this and that and all the stuff you just told us about. And you know, she's a distinguished fellow with the Heritage Foundation. So just in case we...
And married to Mitch McConnell.
Right. But, I mean, you can't... You know, she can marry whoever she wants. But still.
You can...
Yeah, a lot of access there. Just in case, you know, people were still deluded about the Heritage Foundation. You know, here we have somebody who actively, hands-on, worked against the middle class. You know, all you lefties out there that are just positive that it's us evil Republicans. This might be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
We can throw on that to throw on that pile. So, yeah. Distressing. Very distressing. Onward. Sorry.
And we do this a lot. We sit here and we have to take it all in, and we're speechless.
Well, we know everybody else is
we forget
in their living
the
room running around in their slippers pounding their foreheads. So anyway,
but you know, it's just not one side of the aisle in Washington that's responsible for all this. It's both sides.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were looking at.
And Mr. Abramoff, I'm sure, spread his $100 million around evenly, so the influence has been very, very widespread. But it wasn't just back in you know, 2000 that the influence was bought. You know, it's continued to the present. And the one thing that bugs me, that has always bugged me, is, well, why hasn't Washington done something to protect American workers? Why haven't they just stepped forward and said, you know, there's an easy way to resolve this and to fix the problem? You know, so I ask myself, does Congress know? Does the federal government know what's going on? And you know what? The answer is yes. The Government Accounting Office has done numerous studies on this problem and has outlined exactly how certain corporations get around, or not even get around, they just defraud the Department of Labor to wrongfully import all of these workers, and they've published this, their studies and their findings. The latest one I have in my possession is January of 2011, published by the Government Accounting Office, that explains and outlines exactly how these corporations, and we'll talk about the specific corporations that do a lot of this, but they create accounting, what they call accountable staffing, and create a separate thing called a staffing company. So these companies import. There are companies that, for example, Cognizant Technologies, their only business in the United States is to import foreigners. They're listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and so they have to comply with all the security and exchange laws, which includes the publication of a 10-K report that outlines to the SEC and to its investors, you know, what's its business and what are the risks to the business. And they, in the 10-K report, Cognizant Technologies admits it's in the business of importing young male Indian students to replace U.S. workers. Their major risk, they publish, they tell their investors the major risk to Cognizant's business is if the U.S. Congress enforced the laws.
Yeah, that's, you know, that jams everybody up every time. You follow the darn laws. Oh,
well, that was quick.
Oh, my gosh. I see it happen. We're at the top of the hour. Sorry, Jim. We'll be back in 5 minutes to hear more about this. Guys, I would encourage you to go to wethepeopleradio.us and look at the information Jim has provided. Refill your coffee, listen to a little news, and we'll be right back with you. And come back for all the good news. Did nothing but good news. Sunshine, rainbows, and puppies. Hit it, Bob.
Hour number two of We the People coming your way next here on Community Radio for the North State, KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of We the People Radio with your hosts Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. And jump on the fabulous webpage by Robert Exter at WeThePeopleRadio.us. And we're streaming and chatting live. You can find that link at WeThePeopleRadio.us or go to KCNR1460.com.
I'm pouring coffee from my Gun Owners of California mug into my National Sarcasm Society mug. What a good mix.
Isn't that nice?
Guns and sarcasm.
Hold it up to the microphone.
Yes, can everybody can see. Hey,
so you can hear the pouring.
So I have to complain that Bob is being mean to me because he knows that I had stomach issues last night and he's trying to force his 4-day-old roast beef sandwich on me.
And there's some old donuts.
And his week old donuts.
Yeah, that was
he's
brutal.
He's just mean. Hey, so
what doesn't kill you will make you stronger.
There you go. Hey, so I just wanted to know, anybody out there, is there anything in the world you care less about than the Oscars?
Yeah, nope. No, I think it's right up there.
Is there anything more irrelevant than that?
Pretty much all the reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, those are right up there. I think the reality show that we provide on Sundays is pretty much all the reality I can take.
Yeah. I have to share this with you because I figured this was going to happen. I just didn't know who was going to do it. But it was one of the sportscasters on ESPN radio, I think. And I dreaded this all week. But sure enough, he's talking about Oscar Pistorius, the Blade Runner who's under indictment for murder in South Africa, the Olympic.
I'm kind of sick of hearing about that, too, yeah.
So he says... And speaking of Oscar, the Oscars are coming up in Hollywood this weekend. And okay, that was the bad segue I was dreading.
Cheap segue. Oh, it's not good. So
jump on the webpage to follow along. We're with James Otto.
Yeah,
and his bio is on WeThePeopleRadio.us.
And for those of you who live in Congressional District 1, I just fired off the link to the program and the salient details of what Jim has told us thus far to our congressman. So just in case no one in Congress knew about this, one person does now.
Presumably Mitch McConnell knew about it.
Gosh, I'm just unbelievable. I mean, so Jim, when you talk to people about this, do their eyes glaze over? Do they just go berserk? I mean, how does this pan out?
When I talk to people, individuals about this, they get upset. And they say, well, why hasn't anything been done? Why haven't I heard about this?
Uh-huh.
Well, I could say you haven't heard about it because, and we'll talk about, I'll give you a sampling of some of the corporations that are involved, but literally all the corporations are involved. You know, the Fortune 500, they're all involved in importing. You can't break into the media. I can't break into the media except for, you know, instances of you know, were programs in radio that deal directly with the people. You know, you're the last opening of communications with the people on this issue. You can't get into print media. You can't get on TV. You know, there have been recent examples of television show hosts who try to get into the immigration issue, and then they get fired. So, it's really... a very, very large gag.
That does make it. That makes it a little bit harder to get involved there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know, before the break, we just finished off with a GAO study, and there've been various other studies. For example, the Pew Research study, the Pew Research Center did a study and entitled it After the Great Recession, Foreign-Born Gain Jobs, Native-Born Lose Jobs. You just have to follow the numbers. There's a gentleman named Ron Hira, H-I-R-A. He's a professor with the University of Rochester in New York. He's done extensive research over about 20 years following, the H-1B programs. From University of California, Davis, is Professor Norm Matloff, M-A-T-L-O-F-F. He's done extensive research. In fact, I think he's even testified in front of Congress. So Congress knows about this. There's Senators Grassley and Durbin who annually, put forward this pro forma bill to fix this immigration problem. Of course, it always dies. It never comes out of committee. I don't think it's ever even introduced into committee. But it's gone. It's just, Congress is very happy to allow this to continue going on. Last year, there was a scandal in the papers for a while involving one of the Indian body shops, one of these large corporations that import, and the allegation was that they had fraudulently sent out letters to foreigners to allow them to come into the United States. One of the visa categories is a temporary visa to allow foreign nationals to come to the United States to attend a conference or an educational, setting for a very short period of time, usually less than 5 days. Well, this corporation was accused of using this visa to import foreigners. They would stay in this country 9 to 12 months doing work, for this company. Replacing competent U.S. workers, and the numbers of imported were in the tens of thousands a year. And Congress had some hearings on that, and it's just simply died now. It's ran its course.
And so for all those people that are out there saying, well, if the U.S. workers were better workers, it's about production, and they would have kept them, and yada, yada, yada. So what do you say to that? That you're just a mean, bad racist, Jim? What about that?
Well, it's really all about money. It's not about efficiency. Duke University did a study, and they interviewed something like 180 corporations and asking them their opinions of whether U.S. workers were more competent than foreign workers, and over 90% responded that they would prefer to hire U.S. workers. Okay. There's more communication, there's more productivity, the workers are more imaginative, they could assume responsibility easier and quicker. There's no accounting for money. For example, in this lawsuit against Molina Healthcare and Cognizant Technologies, the Senior Vice President of Human Resources and the Director of Human Resources have both come out and are will testify on my behalf or my client's behalf that after they fired my clients that the IT department basically fell apart because they brought in Cognizant would bring in these trainees. These are people who aren't qualified to come in and handle an IT department, especially one as complex as a medical technology or a medical services corporation. And so they ended up spending over something like $8 million more in labor costs to fix the problems of these young trainees. But Molina Healthcare didn't care because they ultimately got their job done, and it was Cognizant that had to pay for it. Cognizant didn't care because they were getting paid wages at a higher scale than they actually pay these people. Keep in mind, nobody's blaming the immigrant who comes to work and replaces a U.S. citizen because that person is simply trying to work also.
Sure.
And in India, the wages are so low that when they come to the United States, if they get paid $15,000 a year, that they're in heaven because that's three times more than they make in India. It's all these corporations have found a way to make a profit off the back of these poor people and in turn have put American workers out of work. and our economy is just, you know, stagnant because we can't seem to get people back to work for some reason.
Yeah, because all the slots are being filled from outside. And just in case people missed it in the first hour, and it really struck me when I spoke with you yesterday before the program, the whole idea behind this, I mean, this wasn't just a haphazard thing. The ball got rolling. Nobody knew, you know, nobody really saw the outcome, you know, saw the handwriting on the wall. They did this on purpose to drive down the wages of the middle class so that we would be more in line with the rest of the world. I mean, I'm
correct.
Kind of paraphrasing what you said, but am I close?
No, that's right on. That's spot on. And that comes not from my conclusion, but that comes from Alan Greenspan, who was the chairman of the Federal Reserve and advisor to all the presidents. And that's exactly what he wanted. That was his.
And how sad that rather than bring the standards of other countries up to ours, that we that the idea is to bring our standard down.
That's what we're doing with everything.
If you have the choice between the two, how sad to choose that one.
Well, that's why we have to have global climate falderall, because we need to break down the countries that are doing well so we can all live in the third world environment. I mean, this isn't very much that same thing. You know, strip Americans of resources and put them in a little box.
Yeah. And, you know, I hate to say it, but there's no reciprocity, you know, in certain foreign countries. If Americans were to start immigrating to certain foreign countries, they wouldn't be welcome there. You know, you can't go to India and take away jobs from Indian workers, even if they paid enough. But, you know, you would be physically assaulted over there. Plus, they've got, you know, each country has its own social structure, and Americans won't fit well in their social structure. So it's simply not a viable idea that, you know, if you need a job, if you're a U.S. citizen or U.S. worker and you need a job overseas, just go find a job somewhere else.
Well, and that kind of brings up an interesting point. Are other countries, are they doing that? Are they trolling the streets in the United States looking for workers to come there?
No, absolutely not.
It's a one-way pipeline.
It's total one-way. And in England, they've passed some very stringent laws to protect their workers. If a British corporation starts importing, they have to guarantee the job of the displaced British citizen, or at least guarantee the wages. And if they don't, then there's a way for the British citizen to sue the corporation and at least recoup his wages, lost wages.
So you're suing a corporation who's doing this on behalf of displaced workers, and I'm assuming you've done that more than once?
Yes, well, there's...
And how does it turn out?
It's actually a groundbreaking lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
You know, there have been one or two such suits on the East Coast that haven't survived. But they went under different theories. What my theory is quite simple, is that in 1962, Congress passed the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits an employer, any business, from expressing a preference for certain types of workers, or expressing a preference against certain types of workers. Among those would be national origin. And so what we know from, as I explained earlier, Cognizant and these body shops. I should explain Cognizant in a minute, but what these body shops do is they import specific national origins and exclude all others, thus showing a preference for only, in Cognizant's case, only for Indian, young male Indians and nobody else. So
when you say body shop, we're not talking about Ford and Chevy. We're talking about human beings. This is like legal human trafficking.
Yeah, it's very close, and I have no qualms about, you know, actually saying it's tantamount to slavery. The way they treat these foreign workers is just obscene. But the body shops that I refer to are there's 8 major corporations, all traded on the U.S. Stock Exchange. They all make over $5 billion a year. So this is a major, major business importing people. And you read their 10-K reports, and they're all virtually identical. They specialize in importing a specific national origin to replace U.S. workers.
What's a 10K report?
It's a government report mandated by the Securities and Exchange Act, written by the corporation to the SEC and to its stockholders, that outlines its business model, how it does business, why it does business, and the risks to that business, to disclose to the public, the advantages and disadvantages of investing in that corporation.
See, we're learning so many new things. I'm taking notes today. We're going to be right back with James Otto. We're talking about the American jobs and where they all are or are not. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. I like this.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Long as my two hands are fit to use, I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues.
Get a haircut, get a real job, clean your act up, but don't be a slob. Get it together like your big brother Bob.
Get a job if you can find one. Good luck with that.
I knew it said Thorogood on the screen. The other one was Merle Haggard. It's like, what? That's not
Thorogood. Hey, in case you folks haven't noticed out there, the job that Bob does with the music is unbelievable. I mean, every song is handpicked to go with the theme of the show. It's half the fun.
Bingo!
Because we're all from the same generation. We're all old.
Yeah.
We know our music.
And we're all warped.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, if you don't know who Weird Al is, you can't fit in.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
So
you're welcome, Bob.
What about me?
Thank you, Rose.
No, thank you, Bob. All right, so Jim.
Good night, John Boy.
We're tell you what, I think we're freaking out because we're just, I mean, now people in the chat room are starting to talk about, well, hey, what about all the people coming up through the southern border? What about the influx of illegal immigration, you know, from Mexico that isn't just Mexicans? I mean, it's all nationalities. But that's not even that's not even part of this whole picture.
No, that's not. That's a separate category. You know, the illegal immigrants that the United States is now going to admit are going to impact the low end of the job scale of the wage scale. And it's going to impact it, you know, very, very heavily, and for years to come. What we're talking about are middle class wages. You know, these are the people who are your middle managers, your small business owners, things like that. And maybe not even that. Not even that. That reminds me that, you know, I went online to see who's recruiting. For these jobs, how does Cognizant and these other body shops, how do they get applicants? And what I discovered was that in overseas there are job search sites on the internet, just like here in the U.S., but they specialize in seeking foreigners who want to come to the United States to work. And it's really amazing because, for example, from India. You know, there were advertisements. They were recruiting cancer surgeons to come to work in Houston, Texas. Associate sales managers, you know, here in the United States. So there are teachers, jobs for teachers and other salesmen throughout the United States, and it just goes on and on. Every profession, every job category, from an accountant to a zoologist, are being filled by imported labor, and that includes the legal profession. Every category is now getting impacted by the importation of foreign workers, there's a job search website, there are job hunters in foreign countries looking for these foreign nationals to convince them to come to the United States and work. And I mentioned earlier, Congress had allowed students, foreign students, to work now. They, you know, that's been a recent modification, and so historically, we've always imported maybe around 300,000 to 500,000 foreign students each year who are not allowed to work. Now the numbers have just exploded. We're importing over 1.5 million a year in foreign students, and the vast majority of them are finding jobs with U.S. corporations, full-time jobs. And for example, there's a website called DICE, D-I-C-E.com, and they'll put up advertisements that are almost exclusively for these students. You know, they'll use the term OPT or CPT to indicate that they're looking for foreign students in all these job categories. So it wasn't very surprising to me when last year there were news articles about and a lot of discussion about why U.S. Graduates, U.S. you know, citizens and U.S. graduates could not find job. Why the job market was so poor for these U.S. Citizens. And that's because we're importing foreign students to take the job. You know, it's just happening all around us. You know, who's doing all this? Who's hiring all this? Well, everybody. Of course, Microsoft hires, you know, somewhere around 30,000 foreigners a year. IBM, Oracle, Ernst & Young, General Electric, Motorola, J.P. Morgan, CVS Pharmacies, Rite Aid, Price Waterhouse, Columbia University, Walgreens, Caterpillar, FedEx, Countrywide, well, they're gone now, Eli Lilly, Honeywell, you know, all the Fortune 500, including other employers include the states. You know, the state of California hires a lot of foreigners. In fact, one of my favorite quotes from Governor Schwarzenegger was there were, I believe, five foreign nationals who did not convert their H-1B status into a green card quick enough, and so they had to go home. And he was quoted as saying, well, it's a shame to lose good workers.
Mm.
You know, I mean, never mind the...
What does that make us, chopped liver?
Jeez, they deported our priest. There's no room for those guys. He was renewing his visa, and they were like, "Yeah, you know, we're overloaded on these guys. Send them back. Get them out of here." No priests.
Huh. He'll probably come back on the H-1B visa.
Well, you know what? He should have done his homework. He came here as a priest. That was a blowout, apparently. Apparently, you gotta come in as a student. So when these folks come here, like, say, as a student, and you say that they're not allowed to work, but they do,
Congress changed the law. They're allowed to work.
Oh, they are. Okay. That was old news when they weren't allowed to work. Because I was going to ask you how they knew if they were working or not. And so then, are these, when they come here either to work or they come here on a student visa or whatever, is this how all these people wind up staying here forever, like Obama's uncle or whatever? Is it his uncle, who's been deported like 9 million times over 30-some-odd years or whatever? Is that how they wind up staying here? Is they just don't leave?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. So these employment preference visas allow corporations to import these foreign nationals within 7 days of the application. And then once the foreign nationals get here, they immediately start applying for green cards. The H-1B, for example, specifically the H-1B visa, is good for only 3 years, but you could automatically renew it for another 3 years. And within that six-year period, you're going to get your green card. And that's how you end up staying here permanently, which is sort of ironic. And in a sense, what happens to these people, these foreign nationals, once they get their green card, they're no longer economically desirable because they could find other work. They've got the freedom to look for other work and start demanding higher wages. So typically what happens is these foreign corporations or these body shops fire the green card holder.
Really?
And now we've got one more person on the public dole.
Oh, my God. just when you thought it couldn't get worse. No, we've got more. Good grief. I don't even know what to ask you at that point. This is just so, you know, this is just so stupid. I feel like Rain Man. I just need to, you know, pound my head and scream and jump up and down. Well, is there anything that can, I mean, I realize there are laws that could be passed, so obviously there are things we could do. You see any end in sight for this?
None. The only thing I believe that will that can happen, there's only two things that could possibly change the course we're on. And let me emphasize, and I mean this literally, is the course we're on is that within 15 to 20 years, our children will have to go to work overseas.
Mm.
You know, we will not be have any jobs in the United States, and that the medium wage for the middle class in the United States will drop under $30,000. It's going to happen at this pace. But what can we do to stop it? Well, I've got a lawsuit that's going on that I believe if the courts accept it, then will force the body shops and U.S. corporations to start searching for U.S. workers, to allow U.S. workers to really make job applications, and that the U.S. corporation must give it real, give these folks real consideration in job in the job application system. Right now, U.S. workers are segregated, literally segregated out of the job market. You know, in the 1950s, in the 40s and 50s, you know, blacks and black Americans in the South were told they had a ride on the in the back of the bus. Well, by analogy, today, American workers, U.S. workers, aren't even allowed on the bus. You know, these body shops do not consider U.S. workers as desirable. Corporations no longer want to hire U.S. workers because they want to hire only foreign workers. So if this lawsuit is successful, it will create a means, a blueprint, if you will, for other attorneys to start enforcing the Civil Rights Act against, you know, the body shops and against corporations that engage in this type of behavior. And there are a lot of them out there.
Where's an easy list?
An easy list?
Yeah, of all the corporations that are doing this. Because you named off quite a few. Is there a place we can find that list?
You know, on the Internet, what you do is you just Google H-1B employers.
Oh, okay.
And you will get a variety of lists. Let me give you one specific. There's a magazine, it's also on the Internet, called Computer World.
Mm-hmm.
Computer World is actually owned by a Swiss organization, which is why they're probably the only, what I would consider, large publisher to talk about this issue. And they've recently published an article, February 14, 2013, that updates some of the numbers for H-1B approval. Remember, there's 18 employment preference visas, and they're talking only about the H-1Bs. And they put a list. They give you a list on their website of companies and how many these companies are importing. And not surprising, the top of the list is Cognizant Technologies. And in 2012, they say there were 134,000 H-1Bs imported. And keep in mind, the law is maximum of 80, but somehow, you know, 134 were imported.
Now, I just found a website that gives you all of the H-1B employers based on the state that you're living in, and I just clicked on California, and there's a whole list. I mean, there's pages and pages of these employers.
Right.
So it's apparently not that tricky to figure this out. Hold that thought, Jim, because otherwise we're going to wind up with, again, all the commercials at the end. We need to thank our advertisers and hope they're not on the list. Otherwise, we'll have to be mean to them. No, just kidding. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Elizabeth's head just exploded.
Shift work, hard work, tired body, a blue collar shirt and a baseball cap. Union made. He's hot, sweat drops round the clock. The door never locks and the noise never stops. Not all day.
Job and shoving. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Well, so we just found I found a website that shows the top 11 states. Of course, California's in
hey,
that one.
That's
New York,
awesome.
Massachusetts.
It's using the Obama logo, too.
Wait. Let me go back to that
Look
one.
Look at that. That's fantastic. The Obama logo.
Oh, yeah.
That's super.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm sure it's just a coincidence. And I found one called H1VisaJobs.com. And see, at the top it says, we've been helping international professionals for over 23 years. We can help you, too. But then you look down and it says, you're at the right place if you're an international professional. and then in parentheses, experienced or not. Really? How can you be a professional but
and not
be
experienced? So that, well, how do you define a professional?
Yeah, so they're looking for international professionals, experienced or not, seeking employment in the U.S. It's like, oh, Jim, you've brought up something bad. It's on our radar now, though, so we're watching them.
I appreciate it. You know, we were talking about what can the listeners do to prevent this or slow it down. And so, like I said, you know, there's two things. One is our lawsuits, and if the courts accept this, you got to remember that I could win at a trial court level. The jury, the people, can say we don't like this. This is wrong, and they could, you know, award monetary damages that would stop employers from doing this. But then the appellate courts, our Supreme Court doesn't have to accept this. They could overrule it and say, no, we're going to allow it to happen because Congress passed it. You know, the Supreme Court has done that. U.S. Supreme Court has done that in Citizens United. You know, California Supreme Court does it all the time. So just because we win, the people win in trial, doesn't mean that a Supreme Court, which is appointed by governors who take money from big business, doesn't mean that they're going to allow it to stand. The other thing that could happen is that people actually get together and start talking about this. And if you don't like it, you get out there and you talk to your congressperson, you talk to your state legislator, and you start to force change at the ballot box through the political system. And, you know, so far I just haven't been able to get enough publicity to you know, get that type of grassroots traction.
Exactly, which is why your sister shot me an email a while back that unfortunately went to, I don't know, just went into the deep six there, and I resurrected it. But she sent me an email and said, hey, you guys ought to cover this on your show. My brother's working on something I think people would be interested in. Kimmy gets a gold star. She was right. I'd like to see if we can't get you on the statewide call with the Tea Party groups in California too.
Sure,
I think we'll work on that as well. Because honestly, if you're looking at what's going on in the world and you don't know all the facts, because people are thinking, well, we just need to close the borders and that'll stop the problem. Mm. Well, what a joke! Yeah. I mean, it's like a race.
Mm-hmm.
How can you get here faster?
Yeah, the borders. You know, again, that's old news. You know, there's studies that show, you know, the illegal immigration from crossing borders illegally is slowing down, whether you believe that or not. You know, it's undisputed that those wages are your lower class wages. And not to you know, say that they're any less important. They're equally as important. But you're going to have those segments, the lower class segments, impacted by illegal immigration, made legal by our administration, and now we're having our middle class wage earners impacted by legal administration.
Aren't a lot of those immigrants crossing the borders heading back home because they're not finding work here?
I've seen studies that suggest that, yes.
Yeah. And also, do you think that
as in many cases in our government, that they're using the border issue as a deterrent, a smokescreen for how they're really bringing international workers into America? I mean, do they make a big issue out of the border so that we're not paying attention to what the sleight of hand is doing?
Yeah, that's my gut feeling, because the illegal immigration issue are for those workers that don't impact the corporate bottom line, okay? But impacts the corporation's bottom line are your middle class wages and your middle class workers, and by deflecting any attention, the public attention, away from, you know, the core issue of lowering wages to the American middle class. You know, you could deflect that attention away by talking about building walls from you know, the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of California. So, and I think that could be true. That, you know, if the president had a talk to a room full of middle class wage earners and say, you know what, you've got to take a 60% pay cut for the benefit of the corporations that are making countless billions of dollars, for the benefit of the multimillionaire who are making hundreds of millions or more each year every time their corporation is profitable. But we want you, Mr. and Mrs. America, middle class America, to take a 60% pay cut. You know, that's not going to fly.
And
that's what's happening.
Well, and meanwhile, their taxes are going up, and how much of this is being funded with incentives and tax breaks and blah, 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 that comes right out of the people that are still working, comes right out of their pockets?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, 8.5 million people lost their jobs during our latest major recession caused by Wall Street greed. And, you know, those corporations, those greedy corporations have recovered, but there's still 8.5 million U.S. workers who are still, you know, wandering the streets somewhere.
Huh. Well, we imported 8 million people right about that same time, so it's a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah. Oh, which, by the way, these imported foreigners don't pay the full array of taxes that we pay.
What?
They don't pay any of the Social Security. They don't pay the disability. Because they're considered non-permanent. They're considered temporary workers. Even though they're applying for green cards, they're still considered temporary workers. And so the IRS has been told that because these temporary workers are going to presumably go back to their home country and pay taxes there, we're not going to double tax them here.
So they're not paying Social Security, or do they pay payroll taxes?
They pay some of the payroll taxes, correct.
But not Social Security and disability?
Correct.
So what happens if they get hurt?
We pay it.
Mm. And do we ship them back?
We the people. Do we get it back?
No. Do they get sent home? Like, say somebody gets hurt on the job, just out of curiosity.
No, they don't.
Then they stay here.
The workers' comp picks it up. You know, in California.
So they get the financial benefits provided to a protected worker. They just don't have to pay into it.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, it's truly, they're looking for an opportunity. The bad part is our system is set up incorrectly. So I guess I should be mad at the right entity. It isn't the people who come here taking advantage of it. It's the people who keep leaving the doors open.
The villain are the corporations, and in this case, I believe Congress that has created the pathway to put American workers out of business.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to take our last quick break here. We're going to come back and finish up the hour with Jim Otto, talking about the legal part of immigration and how that affects our jobs. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Jim, when you take your lawsuit to court, you could sing the Foreigner song for that.
You could come in with fanfare. That is powerful.
And a chorus.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Bob,
actually,
how
Bob
do you
Rivers,
do
Bob Rivers twisted Christmas for that.
That's funny. How do you even know that? All right. Take it away. Take it away, Jim. Hit us between the eyes some more. We love it. We're done swearing now. We were swearing during the break. There was swearing involved.
This is
frustrating stuff.
Yeah. You know, we've covered the history and a lot of the impact. We've covered a lot of information today. If anybody really is moved by this, and I hope everybody's really moved
better
by
be
this,
moved by it.
Then, you know, please start making some noise. You could contact me. You could probably better off contacting your neighbors, and you get together and you talk about things like this. If you needed somebody to come and speak at, to a group, I'm more than willing to speak at groups. You know, it's just something that's going to impact all of us and impact our children. It's going to definitely impact our future generations.
Well, you know, what's worse than a parent looking at their young children and trying to figure out what kind of future they're going to have?
Yeah.
You know, every... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've traveled extensively overseas, and, you know, we all have to remember that these immigrants have a very hard life overseas. But if we allow this to continue, if we allow Wall Street this privilege of putting us out of business, of not accepting our job applications, then our kids are going to have to go live in that overseas society. And that's what's scary to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. Can you imagine? This is just a great population shift. And was this part of Alan Greenspan's little book?
You know, he didn't talk about this. He didn't talk about the impact. He talked about, you know, the consequences to business if we don't do something. But he didn't talk about the human consequences.
Well, you know, that's kind of secondary in the big picture, apparently.
So in order to keep, his theory was to keep our corporations competitive, we had to reduce the cost of wages of the bulk of the people working, which is obviously the middle class. And so by importing foreign workers at lower wages, we would accomplish that over time. and he didn't travel the thought all the way out and see where that was headed.
Well, if he did, he didn't write about it.
Huh.
He decided to ignore it. But there's no discussion by Alan Greenspan that I know of regarding, you know, what are the consequences of this.
So you said that Grassley and Durbin come up with legislation on this each, you know, every now and then. Does that ever see the light of day, or is that just buried in some committee somewhere?
Yeah, the ones I know about are all buried in committee.
Wow.
You know, Senator Grassley gets a lot of, not a lot, he gets some publicity, you know, about talking about immigration and need for immigration reform, but you know, nobody takes any steps to do anything about it.
No, and this is the part of immigration reform, truly, that I think people don't know anything about. I mean, we're all looking at the illegal stuff and the fences and this and that and the other, which I mean, it's important too. But at this point, looking at the numbers that you've got here and the fact that there's no legal mechanism, that it's all basically legal the way they have it set up. So it isn't like people are breaking the law to come here and do this.
Yeah. No, Congress set up a scheme that makes this all very quick and very legal. But what's interesting, though, is that there are still certain requirements that the employer, the importing corporation, has to affirm to certain things, such as that, you know, they'll pay these individuals the current job market. Whatever the current rate is, they're going to have to pay them. And, of course, every employer swears under oath that that's the case, but they don't pay these immigrants the current job market. There's no money in that. They might as well hire U.S. workers. And so, you know, so these U.S. corporations, they bring in these foreigners, and they pay them, you know, maybe $20,000, $25,000 a year for work that U.S. workers would be making $75,000 to $90,000 a year for.
Sure, and there are no wage police to come out and say, hey, you know, that's not right.
Yeah. Yeah, the Secretary of Labor has no collection or no investigation mechanism to speak of. You know, there's just nothing happening out there. The Department of Justice has a small little office of, I believe, one or two attorneys with a budget of $20 million a year to investigate all this throughout the United States.
Oh, geez, that's pocket change.
Yeah.
Oh, they waste that before they get out the door to go look.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, the it's not just H-1B visas. It's really, there's a whole host of them. What'd you say, 18 different ones?
18 different, yeah, visa categories.
And they all do basically the same thing?
Correct. They allow corporations to bring in foreigners immediately.
Wow. And so for all those people that are in a foreign country that want to come to the United States, that fill out paperwork to come here, why don't they just do this? I mean, why would anybody wait?
Well, because as a foreigner, you can't make the application. A corporation has to make the application, and then they choose you, and they bring you across.
Okay.
So the U.S. corporation has to make the decision, we're going to fire our U.S. workers and replace them with, and then they pick a nationality, they go over there and recruit these folks, and they bring the foreign workers in. And again, you know, the Congress has told the Secretary of Labor to approve the applications within 7 days. Gets done within 7 days.
Huh. So if you were going to cut the legs out from under this and you were going to go after the biggest offender, where would you go? Who's like top target?
Well, the body shops, you know, there's like I said, there's eight of them that do nothing but bring in. Like, for example, Cognizant is a U.S. corporation incorporated out of New Jersey, but all the owners are foreign nationals, and they're all from India, and they only bring in Indian students. You know, there's Emphasis, Tata Systems, things like that, and or other corporations like that. I would just go out. I would target them immediately.
How do you spell them? How is Cognizant spelled, the company?
Cognizant.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Technology Systems.
Okay, just curious. Get that out here to our listeners. We'll add that on the webpage as well. And can you keep us updated? What's the prognosis on the lawsuit? How's that going?
Well, it's going slow as expected. They've thrown, I believe, about 12 attorneys at me. So there's four different law firms, and each one has assigned three attorneys to battle this out. And I've associated another attorney in with me, you know, for some help. Then what they did was, what Melina did was, they decided to sue my clients. So they concocted reasons to sue my clients in order to you know, bleed our resources and time.
Oh, but yeah, that's a good strategy. Okay. Hey, Jim, we've got to say goodbye. The computer's going to cut us off.
And real quick, website?
Law Office of James A. Otto.
Great. Outstanding.
Or my email is jaotto@msn.com.
Fantastic. We'll link both
Thanks,
of those.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Keep us posted, please. Thanks to your sister, Kimmy, for giving us the program.